crafted for speed. Tested and worn by Bukayo Saka. The New Balance Furon V8 refines the ultra-lightweight, precision, strike-focused design for an even greater sense of speed. A new speed control stud is designed to support control during sudden stops, sharp pivots, and moves used by the fastest players on the pitch, like Saka himself. Experience engineered minimalism crafted to support explosive movement and the sharpest of touches. Learn more and purchase a Furon at newbalance.com/soccer.
Off the ball. Rugby.
I think Prendergast is going to be the 10 in the World Cup in 27. I think his ceiling is higher. I think he's got more natural ability than Crowley.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
This whole Champions League Manchester City against Real Madrid, like this is the final that we all wanted to see over the last couple of years. Now it's around the last 16, I was like, I don't know, not that interested.
It's like the fourth time they played each other.
It is very frequent now.
So Madrid knocked them out in the quarters last year, and the year before City won the semis.
And then good ties.
Great ties.
Great games.
I can't differentiate between them. I can't remember what goals were scored when. I remember Vinicius scoring an unbelievable goal against them at the Bernabeu. I want to say that's last year. Maybe. It was class, but was it yourself saying that Kyle Walker, or was that Phil in the office saying, very fortunate not to be playing tonight?
Yeah. Oh, you're stealing Arthur's best lines. And
I think I have credited
else
to him.
Wow.
I have credited. You was pointed towards
that's
Arthur. But he
probably
is. Yeah, he's very fortunate. Because first of all, he started life off in Milan very well. And secondly, he doesn't have to put up with what's happening tonight.
Oh, it'd be brutal. He would have been absolutely brutalised. Like, it'll be fascinating to see what. Because I don't know if you're watching much Real Madrid. Like, they're not. It's not like they're not great in terms of like killing all before them, as you'd expect with some of the names that are playing. But when it clicks, it's like nothing you've ever seen. It's like it's absurd. Just the talent, like when you have Bellingham out there, and then into Mbappe, and then Vinicius, and Rodrigo, and it's stunning. Like it's stunning how good at football they are. Like it's just, so I don't know. That's why it's fascinating tonight. I don't know what the hell will happen if City leaves kind of space to leave behind them that did at Arsenal. Though, Jesus, could get ugly on them. Is that game? Is that in Spain or Manchester tonight? I'll put you on the spot.
What
there.
A question that is.
Should check that myself.
Manchester, isn't it?
What it could question. Be brutal though. It could be brutal.
I tell you,
City host Real tonight in the opening leg. Yeah,
fascinating.
They were the
last team to scrape through.
Cheers, man.
They got hockey by Barcelona in the Clasico. But the thing with Madrid is as well, like first half of the season, they're generally speaking, like they're pretty slow starters, and they'd be poor against average sides. They should be beaten because they're kind of stumbling into the game. But when the business gets interesting, that's when Madrid come out, you know.
Well, they've had an injury crisis so far this season, and they've no defenders playing, so it's a full emergency situation, according to Carlo Ancelotti. There have been 36 injuries at Madrid this season, 26 of them muscular. So that whole, we talked to Graham pre-season, he was talking about the lack of pre-season for many of the players and how it would cause issues for them. Now, the fact that they're muscular injuries, maybe they clear up, and if they start to clear up soon, then they're going to be okay. But this is one of those, they assume that they will be playing a not very good team at this stage if they were stuck here, and they did not expect to be stuck here. So let's wait and see exactly how well they do over these two legs, because to your point about the front four, their back four is not going to be great, and their back four is going to be up against City front four, who, you know, are also still pretty good, notwithstanding the fact they're playing shite.
Like, we'd be robbed of it if there's not a lot of goals. Something will have gone terribly wrong. It's just so perfectly set up for it that it's hard to imagine anything else happening.
So Ancelotti has called this a total emergency, according to Sidlow. When he comes to select his defence to face City, he'll have two left backs. Apart from that, he only has one actual defender. So the left backs are Fran Garcia and Ferland Mendy, and Raul Asensio, a 21-year-old academy graduate who has played 19 games this season. He's the only other fit defender. And then there's one player that they never pick. Tchouaméni is playing centre-back, reconstructed midfielder. Two more academy players also playing a good bit. And that's it. Apparently Valverde is going to play right-back. And then you play Valverde at right-back, you don't have a midfield. So the midfield gets stretched. We'll see. It should
be. Valverde's been quality for them in midfield too. But Lucas Vazquez got injured in the Madrid derby at the weekend that they drew. So that's where he's going back there. Yeah, they're both flawed. Very flawed this season. But I can't help but think it'll be a City victory. And Pep will be...
I think it'll be a City victory.
I meant Real.
Oh, sorry.
Can't help but a Madrid victory exciting. With Pep saying, yeah, continues. I don't know what to do. What part of his face he'll attack.
Yeah. If they win, they change the City season, right? Because, like, we're going to talk to Jonathan Wilson about this, but they spent 200 million on players. That's going to improve things, right?
You know, like, they've signed young, which is good, because they need to rejuvenate, because that squad is getting on. Like, it's not just, you know, everyone's kind of consumed by the Radbury absence, but, like, De Bruyne is probably going to go in the summer. Bernardo Silva's been hankering for a move out of there a long time, even when the going was good. So a lot of their core players are going to head off. Their captain just left. So they do need to rejuvenate the squad. So there probably are really good signings, actually, but it's in such a negative place at the moment. The club is that there's not any much celebration happening with these signings. I think people were surprised that the two boys that they signed went straight into the team against Chelsea. Yeah. I think that was one of the most surprising topics. And then they got Gonzalez from Porto on deadline day, and they've been after him for a while. So on paper, it's good business, but the culture around the club at the moment means that at best, it's a shrug of the shoulders. Like, Kuzinov, their defender, his very first involvement in the Manchester City jersey was calamitous against Chelsea and Nicholas Jackson. And then he scores at the weekend in the FA Cup because the ball hits him.
Yeah.
He's had a memorable start to his career.
Well, you wouldn't overrate the importance of the first few games for somebody who's learning a new culture.
That would be the rational, logical way to look at it. But you'd be worried about football, what it will do to him.
He'll be fine, surely. He's the youngest of them, isn't he?
Yeah, he's only a baby. Like, that was very surprising, his selection. And Marmoush looks very good.
Crafted for speed. Tested and worn by Bukayo Saka. The New Balance Furon V8 refines the ultra-lightweight, precision, strike-focused design for an even greater sense of speed. A new speed control stud is designed to support control during sudden stops, sharp pivots, and moves used by the fastest players on the pitch, like Saka himself. Experience engineered minimalism crafted to support explosive movement and the sharpest of touches. Learn more and purchase a Furon at newbalance.com/Saka.
Jonathan Wilson on the line. Good morning.
How are you doing?
I don't know if you heard that conversation. We're talking about Ineos and Manchester United. Like, we actually had this conversation recently. I felt, Jonathan, when they took over on Christmas Eve 2023, that it was, well, that's a relief. Well, you know, the Glazers' grubby paws are kind of slightly off the club now a little bit, and the good times will start rolling. How would you assess, though, the first, 14 months? Would it be generous to describe it as mixed?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it is mixed. Whether it's one part good to nine parts bad or nine parts good to one part bad, it's mixed. But it's definitely towards the former end of that. They had an astonishingly large job to do. But I don't really think that they've set about it particularly well. This is not the biggest issue, but one of the issues with the Glazers, and I just caught the tail end of your conversation, but you know, one of the things you clearly talking about was they are draining money out of the club. Their intentions are to make money. They're not there for the greater glory of Manchester. Now, very few owners would be, but at least play the game to an extent. And the Glazers don't even play the game. And then you have Jim Ratcliffe turns up. And, you know, he is supposedly a child of Manchester United fan. You'd think there'd be a little bit of that sense of what Manchester United means to the community of Manchester. And, OK, it's now a much bigger entity than that. It's a global franchise, for want of a better word. But getting rid of concessions for tickets, getting rid of a free bus travel to finals, getting rid of a free pack lunches, cutting back on the fees of... Yeah, club legends get seemingly not having fixed the roof. There's a cheapness to it, and on the one hand, you can argue that somebody coming into a club that, which, you know, as we're now, I think, recognising, is heading into difficult water in terms of PSR, that there are things they have to do. There are difficult decisions to be made to give them a sort of liquidity so they can buy players still. And you know, God knows they need to buy players. But at the same time, some of the cuts seem to be falling on the people least able to afford it. Mm. And you sort of turn around as well and you think, well, maybe if you hadn't given Erik ten Hag the extension, if you hadn't given him all the money to spend in the summer, then you know, maybe you wouldn't have to be taking that money out of the pocket of pensioners. And so it feels just as rapacious and avaricious and squeezing as it ever did, albeit possibly with better intentions, but it's very difficult to judge those intentions at the moment.
And it's going to be a second yellow card here for Mandy, and he's off. And Lille's task may now be insurmountable.
Oh, Mandy, you came and you went without taking the ball, and the rest sent you away. Sorry, Rob.
That's a round of applause line, Gary.